and we were.
I mean, this guy had a billboard. Okay, they had a billboard going around for voter registration.
Really? Okay. One of those mobile billboards.
Yeah, he wasn't out there basically.
a year after that, I was working with the Census Bureau, and that's when we had a campaign going on called Yalla Count, which means.
Well, and let's explain some to people. You'll hear a lot of Arabs will use the word Yalla.
Okay.
Yalla, which is basically spelled, if you're spelling it in English letters, Y-A-L-L-A, Yalla. Mm-hmm. And you'll see it sometimes around election time where it's a Yalla vote. Yalla vote is actually a slogan that is copyrighted to the Arab American Institute that basically is trying to encourage those members of those communities to actually be engaged in civic voting, you know, activities, responsibilities, so forth and so on. So Yalla is actually a very common term.
Hmm.
That we use as a community, and depending on how your mother is calling you when she says Yalla, it could be like, hurry up and get your ass in gear and get out the door, or it could be Yalla like, hey, we're excited, let's go do something. Mm-hmm. So it has very different meanings depending on the phonetics and the soundings that you do it. But the basic thing is, it's an energizing word. It's like Yalla.
So
Yalla register.
Let me just finish the one thought, because I don't think I explained properly. What irritates me, if I have to put it on, what isn't just the broad lumping together of everybody that's there, it sort of suggests also I'm part of the majority, I'm not a minority, and I don't see myself as that.
Why would you want to be associated with a minority, though, Paul?
Well, because I think of myself as Irish, and I know that Irish people have been a minority at different times in their history, and I'm Catholic, and I know Catholics have certainly been a minority in this country.
So there's a minority.
I'm not maybe, a white Anglo-Saxon
maybe
Protestant.
Maybe even a bit of a cultural history, a legacy of persecution that you basically sort of pridely associate with as being a part of your definition of yourself.
White to me means WASP, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, white English Protestant. The white English Protestants, the first people they beat up on for hundreds of years wasn't Hispanics or Arabs or anybody else. It was Irish.
Oh, absolutely. The Irish, the Italians, every group that came in, everybody
so
before
I,
beat
suddenly
up on.
Now we're part of this group? How did we get? We were isolated. We were attacked by that group, and suddenly we're associated. And the other thing that offends me deeply about the term is it's an instant division. I'm white,
so
you're not.
So imagine.
I'm white, you're black. So I'm white, you're brown. So I'm whatever. It instantly separates
us. So imagine, and I understand that, but there's actually, in a way, a benefit, and we'll get to that in a minute, about categorizing a little bit in terms of how the government is set up. But imagine with what you just said as a reaction to the word white, the fact that we are lumped together under that category. Mm-hmm. So how unapplicable is that really?
Yeah.
If you as a Catholic Irish, European of European descent basically have a negative reaction to white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Right.
Okay. And yet that is the term that is on the census forms. That is the term when you fill out forms. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah. So in that case, we would be Arabs only when it comes to the census form. So we don't get the benefits that other minorities get. But at the airport,
you're not white.
We're definitely not white.
Anglo-Saxon Protestants, right?
Well, you're not being measured.
We're being profiled. We're being harassed at airports.
We're not white then.
Yeah, that's when we're not white. But we're white on the census form. If you looked at the census form, it says, white includes people of European descent and people of Middle Eastern descent. Immigrants from Europe or from Lebanon or from Egypt are all an Egyptian, a dark-skinned Egyptian who is
North
people from North Africa. Some of them are and their skin color varies, so some of them are black. So the moment that person
a lot of tribal
fills
groups
out
in North Africa are very
Egypt,
dark-skinned,
or Saudi Arabia or Morocco, they're considered white even if their skin color is black.
Wow. Somehow that term is just a charged term.
It's not, my point wasn't about the term. It was about the differentiation, and I think Rashad presented it very well, is that on certain ways, in certain things, we're lumped together.
Mm-hmm.
In certain other things, like when we're at the airport, that guy looks a little suspicious.
He goes in the other line.
They were random checked. Yeah, baloney, mm-hmm. right? The point of it was this. If you don't register when you register or you fill out that form and there's a category that counts you as an ethnic group, you don't qualify as a formal ethnic group in the presence of the U.S. government. Therefore, you cannot get benefits as an ethnic group.
Right. Certainly minority contracts.
So there's almost things, there's almost a discrimination in lumping everybody together under one blanket, because then I can't show that we have enough people with certain ethnicity, with certain background, with certain religious rights that have to actually be considered. So in a democracy that prides itself on basically giving that kind of freedom, this one little box that basically lumps everybody together, it's about less than an inch by inch, that you get a tick or you don't tick. And the crazy thing is, when Rashad was working for the census, the hardest thing for the community, the Arab American community, to do was to actually, by choice, write in, which is that you would have to write it in. There's like
other. There's always an other.
You would have to write it in. And the worry was that if I write in Arab, I'm immediately telling the federal government, hey, here I am.
Start profiling. Watching me,
So that was a fear.
So we had a hard thing within the community to get people to.
And how did you how do you resolve that?
So we had an outreach program that we conducted. The Yalla Count campaign. There was a slogan that was going around. It actually went viral on online YouTube and Facebook. And there was this guy named Omar who was filmed saying, hey, when the census form comes to your house, you got to check it right because you're not white.
So check it right, you're not white.
And, of course, there's an education process with it as well, because we would go to community centers, to events, to churches, mosques, what have you, and have these presentations about why the census form is important, how filling out the census form will help the
community. And most minority groups have historically been underrepresented, one, because they don't speak the language, two, because they're a fear of authority and whatnot, or maybe they're not here legally or whatever, or they're not just comfortable. And three, they live in poor, most ethnic groups, any ethnic group. Generally, they live in poor neighborhoods, so they get assimilated and work their way up. So
and at that time, that was very controversial, because around the same time, there were incidents in Irvine, especially, an Irvine mosque, when an FBI informant was planted there, and he pretended to be a Muslim convert, but he was actually, trying to get...
but he showed up with a black suit and little black glasses on.
So people were afraid. On the community. This is Irvine.
People were afraid of filling out that form.
San Pedro. Irvine.
I got a couple of questions I want to ask you, but before that, I think you bring up an interesting history that most people aren't aware of. This country, as far as I know, is the only country in the world, certainly the only Western country, that every 4 years does a census. And it was started by at the birth of our country, because we are a representative democracy. We need to know how many people are in each area so we can apportion representatives. How many should this state have? How many should this have? So they started counting it. Now, I'm a fan of history. I was a history major. I'm a fan of my own. I'm on Ancestry.com, and I've been checking my family roots for years. And one of the great sources, rare sources of information that you don't find in other countries is the census. And I have found the actual, they've photocopied all of these actual handwritten ledgers on through the years, and you can see them on Ancestry.
We had recently cities in Orange County that had to basically go to districts, in the way that they were basically partitioned order to have districts that were representative of the ethnic communities that lived in those districts. So the fact that we don't have a voice in saying, hey, we are here and this is how many we are and we are counted, I don't want to get into the politics of it, because there's definitely a lot in politics of it, but the practicality of it is that is a very important thing. And for us
critically
to find ourselves at that point in time, and still to this day probably, where people of the community feel scared, worried, that if they actually filled in Arab on the thing, that they basically are inviting people to basically profile them, is a sad state of
being. And if they don't have a way to say we are here and be counted, then nobody will know. There is no correct...
So it's a vicious circle, right?
We don't know how many Arab Americans there are here, because they don't, there is no place to self-identify that way, and there is no way, therefore, to count. And the community is reluctant, even if there was, to participate.
So how was that?
Since you're a fan of history,
yes.
I think you, I wanted to just get, tell this funny story about how Arab immigrants were, it was decided for them to be counted as white.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Maybe you should look more into that. But the idea was that immigrants were coming from Syria and Lebanon, and people didn't want them. So they want, at the time, there was the Asian Exclusion Act, so there was no people from Asia coming here. So these immigrants were trying to prove...
What years are we talking about, roughly?
The 20s.
Yeah, okay. Because that's when a lot of the racial rules were written in a lot of the 20s and stuff. And that's when they started putting up immigration. Because when my great-grandparents came over here from Ireland, there were no immigration limits. You got on a boat, you got here, welcome, you're in America.
So, Asian.
The argument was they are from Asia or from Turkey, because it was around the time when these countries were...
The Ottoman Empire was controlled by Turkey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so they argued that... They are from the same land that Jesus came from. So if Jesus...
Jesus had to be white, is every picture.
Course,
yeah, right.
Yeah. So since Jesus was from this land, then they must be also... They must be white because Jesus was white. That's how...
So unless the United States in the 1920s was willing to accept that Jesus was a, you know, an olive-skinned man and wasn't white and blonde-haired, they literally rode in on the coattails of Jesus to basically be included as white.
And that's how they stayed in America.
Because we are from the land of Jesus.
Which is true.
You know,
rather than correct delusion...
Yeah.
We just utilize the delusion to actually get access to that.
That is a marvelous, marvelous story.
So what was the experience like?
And can I tell you, I'll go one step further. I'm Irish Catholic. Okay, so we had a picture of Jesus. I always thought it was a horrible picture of Jesus. It was one of those real stylized things. And you know, it was a big painting that we had, my mother had in our house, like a lot of good Catholics did. And Jesus had long, flowing, blonde hair and blue eyes.
Okay.
I never thought twice about that until I was much older. Jesus, there is a historical Jesus. We know there really was somebody named Jesus, whether or not you think he's of descent of God. But there was, there's enough other records to know there was a somebody named Jesus there. Jesus wasn't blonde and blue eyes. Where did this come from?
So this delusion, this sense of needing to basically stereotype groups of people by certain characteristics, okay, is really ridiculous. And when it comes to the Arab American community, there's so many shades and so many colors and so many religions and so many ethnicities and so many dialects that it isn't even applicable.
Religions, so heard of. What's a Zoroastrian? All these things.
Exactly. But the point is this. So we find ourselves in a situation where we are fighting against stereotyping. Mm-hmm. We're fighting against laziness in basically labeling people, right? And what I really, really liked about Rashad is that he was doing it at that time, whether it would be through the, you know, voter registration or the census. He was doing it in a manner that was very civic oriented. That wasn't it was controversial by the nature of maybe how people wanted to see it if they didn't care for it. But it was not controversial in just kind of being just aggressive, being, you know, it was a positive civic engagement. In fact, if anything, it was saying, I understand and I believe in the tenets of what the United States says it stands for, and I'm here to actually participate in strengthening those things and promoting those things, such as voter registration, just as, you know, census counting, so forth and so on. And how did the census thing, what was your experience with the census, having done it? I mean, looking back, what did you do?
I'm still not sure. You went to the census.
At the time, I actually used to work for the U.S. Census Bureau. And
so you
my job
one of the ones who were uncounted and stuff here?
I didn't do the counting. I did the outreach and the education, focusing on Arab and Middle Eastern immigrant communities across Southern California or the greater L.A. area, actually.
And did you approach them, or what, did they have a position and you just applied for it?
I applied for. So at the time, there was a program, an outreach program, a partnership program, they called it.
Okay.
Basically to make sure that hard-to-count communities, usually immigrants, are aware of what the census is and are educated about
and participate
why it's important
in it.
To fill out the census.
Because it all starts with knowing how many people of any group are here, right? You can't do anything until you can prove there's so many Irish.
Yeah,
so
what
many,
you just what you choose
Italians
to do with that data is sort of, you know, driven by your own motivation.
Right.
But the reason why I was asking that is because it didn't stop there. You know, I kept seeing him getting involved in other stuff. The Arab American community in Anaheim has gotten more organized. It's gotten more engaged. You know, there's members of the community that are sitting at city council.
He's engaged, everybody's engaged.
He's engaged now. He was late in getting engaged. But there are members of the Arab American community or the larger MENA community, the Middle Eastern, North African community that are in seats of city council, planning commission, you know, so forth and so on. So these are people, these are Arab Americans that are engaged in the actual day-to-day living of being in America, participating in the democratic process.
Right, and there's a lot of folks are more engaged now politically, that's a few years later. That's when I started an organization called the Arab American Civic Council, because I believe that there was a need for an Arab American organization that is non-partisan and non-sectarian. Yeah. So, because the Arab American community is diverse. There's Muslims, Christians, Catholics that are
lots of kinds of Christians. There's Catholics, Christians and then there are Coptic Christians,
the Maronites,
and then Orthodox,
Eastern Orthodox,
all these different groups and groups that I've never even heard of before. Maryanite Christians isolated.
You have Armenian. I mean, Rashad.
Yes, right.
I am Greek Orthodox and Catholic. Okay.
Oh, you're Catholic too?
My mom is Catholic. My dad's Greek Orthodox.
Oh, I didn't know.
Okay,
that.
Actually, my dad's side of the family is Palestinian Muslim, and my mom's an Armenian Orthodox Christian.
Yeah. Christian.
We have a lot of groups that were faith-based or, you know, whatever civic groups that existed at the time, but we didn't have an organized Arab-American group that encouraged civic engagement that we're currently doing.
And what does civic engagement mean?
That means a lot of things, and that means different things to different people.
Yes.
But to us, it was about empowerment, whether politically, through voter registration, voter outreach, or even being engaged with in the political process, such as, you know, holding your elected officials accountable, making sure that your voice is heard, or even within engaging media or other types of work that is more community-oriented.
Would it be fair to say that part of that engagement is saying we're here?
Of course.
Because
and we're here.
Because
we
you're saying
proud.
That when Arabs came over, they tried to meld in, but we're white because we're from the land of Jesus, so we'll just meld into the society.
Let me read to you.
Well, that would have prevented them from being here in the first place.
Let me read to you the about for the Arab American Civic Council, which Rashad asked me to be a part of. So, for full disclosure, I am a part of the board of the Arab American Civic Council, right?
And I was very
particular. I remember telling him from the very beginning.
And as Groucho Marx said, I don't want to be part of any organization that would let me be a member.
Well, I'll smoke a cigar, but I will never pretend to be Groucho Marx. But I remember very clear from the beginning saying, look, it's not against anything, but I would be happy to be part of this organization as long as the tenets were that we are not faith-based and that we are not partisan. Because of my involvement in nonprofits, what I understood to be the positive that we needed as a community and that I felt was maybe getting lost because of priorities of other organizations being different, was this face of the community that was actually engaged in civic activity, volunteerism, national work days, you know, Cesar Chavez Day, Martin Luther King, going down and working at senior centers, you know, because again, the easiest way to label us as being one lump sum of something is not for us to have a narrative that almost challenges that reality. Right. So the about on the Arab American Civic Council is the Arab American Civic Council is a community-based organization that strives to advance the Arab American community by encouraging their civic participation through community organizing, active advocacy, public policies, leadership development, cultural outreach, and cultivating partnerships with other communities. Okay, so there's nothing that is driven by, I mean,
not anti,
every religion will tell, every religion will tell you that giving back and doing all this stuff, right? So in a way, we are following those tenets of being good, being good in the community and paying it forward.
Right.
However, we also, I think one of the things was that for somebody who wanted to participate at that level,
right,
the organizations that were around allowed them to do that, but at the additional level of that, they are faith-based or they are partisan, Democrat, Republican, what have you. And we felt, what about all those people that are basically just wanting to be involved?
So let me ask you the question then. Is there a consensus among all these groups? Is there a unifying theme because they're all from this North Africa, Middle East? Because in that community, Lord knows there's a lot of centuries-old antagonisms, faith-based, tribal-based, regional-based.
So there's
just like you have between South Orange County and North Orange County.
You know, I hate North Orange County.
We're very diverse. There's a lot of opinions, but what we stand for is we stand for principles. So you know, we want to advance justice. We want to advance principles of equality, inclusivity.
I hate all
that. So these are
diversity.
Well, this is what we stand for. And
I hate equality and justice. I hate all that.
You know, we have members who are non-Arab as well, because we work closely with a lot of.
I guess I'm saying, was it easy to bring these groups together, or did that bring about their tribal battles? Well, yeah, we're all from this area, but don't let them in because I hate them. And
those who want to get tribal, you know, they can do it outside of. of the Arab American Civic Council, because we don't allow that.
It makes it harder. Right. It makes it harder to antagonize on those old
schisms.
Yeah. When you're basically driven by stuff that is volunteerism, stuff that is basically social justice, stuff that's basically equality, things that are not me against you,
right.
My religion against your religion. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that's what I personally feel the Arab American Civic Council brings to the table that is very much needed. And I'm not, you know, take the word Arab American out of it. I think a civic organization of this nature, regardless mm-hmm. of who's championing it, okay? But in our case, I think within the community, especially in a community as large as it is in Southern California, having an outlet for people, young people that are basically wanting to look and get engaged, born and raised here, you know, to want to participate in society, the hope is that this offers people an opportunity to go there without a sense of being threatened, sense of sort of negativity or labels that are associated with it.
And while part of our mission is to change narrative, to change the way people look at Arabs and Arab Americans, mm-hmm. Immigrants, refugees, but also to change some of the misconceptions within mm-hmm. our own community. So, for example, the other day, this is a good example that I wanted to talk about. I happened to be at a Starbucks on Brookhurst and Crescent, and when I was leaving, I ran into this guy who used to own a restaurant in Little Arabia,
mm-hmm.
and he
this area I never even knew
he
existed.
Greeted me,
right?
And check out littlearabiadistrict.com for like
littlearabiadistrict.com. Okay.
So he greeted me, and he was sitting there with two people, and he was introducing me to his friend, and he was excited and telling him, "Oh, this is Rashad, and he's leading this initiative to get." Our community more recognized and mm-hmm. and have the city of Anaheim. He's trying to get the city of Anaheim to designate this area so you know we can be more recognized and bring more tourists that go to Disneyland or whatever
right.
to our area
right.
to help the businesses, help the city, and help the community. And that guy looked at me. He's like, "That's never going to happen."
This is within the community.
Defeatist attitude that we have, and we're trying to change that.
And is the defeat
because they feel like we're not strong enough, or we're just immigrants, and they don't care about us. But I told him, you know what?
Or is it because there's enough consensus? Because within that community, that broad term of Arab Americans. There's a lot of anger and infighting going on within.
No. It's a feeling of maybe
helplessness.
You're an immigrant. Exactly. helplessness. You know, maybe he feels weak. So, you know, that led to a conversation between us. You know, to encourage him. That's not what we do.
Oh, see, that's the problem. I want to know. We only got a few minutes left. I want to hear from your fellow. Introduce your feminine fellow.
So, October?
October.
We started this program, Transformative Leaders Fellowship. It was in partnership with the National Network for Arab American Communities, which is based in Michigan. Start this
Large Arab population
from the 30s to the 20s. Actually.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dearborn, mostly then the southern part of the
Detroit. Warren.
So we partnered with them and World Relief, which is a refugee resettlement agency in Garden Grove, were kind enough to donate space so we can use it.
World Relief was here. I've heard of the organization, a well-known organization. I didn't know they were based in Garden Grove here.
There's an office in Garden Grove. That's where they resettled.
All right. So you got all this money, this funding to do what? Why are you here? Why aren't you out running around?
What was the program for, Rashad?
So it's a program to develop young leaders who are recent graduates or still in school, to engage them in civic activities and support leadership skills, help with leadership development, engage them and get them to experience practical.
They don't want to get involved.
So Johanna,
they're young. They're slackers. They're playing games. They're not involved.
Well, Johanna was very involved. In fact, she did an internship in Washington, D.C. with a congresswoman, and she was very involved on her campus in USC before she joined us at the Arab American Civic Council.
I was involved in student organizing with Students for Justice in Palestine on campus at USC. I did a couple of internships, as Rashad mentioned, with Representative Karen Bass in Washington, D.C. But just to give you a quick background on who I am and why I chose to be here and work with organizations like the Arab American Civic Council, I was born in New York, but I grew up in Jordan, Amman, and I decided to get into politics in 2011, just when the Arab uprising started. That's what motivated me.
Okay.
And for college, when I came here, I realized that it's completely different. What we have to go through in the Middle East is not the same with what we can do here. We can do much more and accomplish much more and use the system to organize for our communities and actually have our voices heard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot more difficult over there, and that's why I took the opportunity to work with the Arab American Civic Council, because I actually see results.
So you were motivated by the uprisings that suddenly sprang up throughout the Middle East, mm-hmm. and it was like a wildfire. As one grew, another took off. And you thought, rather than stay there and try and effectuate change, you would come here because we're more rules-based system and have all these...
I came here for college, so that wasn't the
reason.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Rutgers at first, and then I transferred to USC.
Wow, those are two different schools.
Yes. Completely different.
Ivy League to Old World Ivy League to Southern California. Okay. And you got involved in activities here. And now what do you do for them? What's this fellowship entail?
Well, I work closely with Rashad. So I work on any campaigns that we're currently working on. We recently had an event that I planned this past Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Refugees Welcome Reception and Community Forum. We had it in Little Arabia at the Olive Tree Restaurant. And we brought... refugee families or our new American friends, as we like to call them.
I like that.
To attend and speak with elected officials about their concerns and their experiences and stories and what they would like
stories.
To change.
Stories. It's all about stories, isn't it?
It's all about stories.
Tell your story, which is why these organizations should exist, because, I know we only got a minute or two left, and this is a topic I'd love to have you guys come back and talk about. Is there a place for us to be Irish Americans, to be ethnically or religiously to recognize our roots and to band together to effectuate some change or send our voice, or those that say the opposite. No, we're just American. I hate this idea of being an Italian-American and Irish-American and Arab-American.
That's not really a reality. I mean, if you think about Boston, if you think about Chicago, there's neighborhoods with ethnicities across this whole country. This whole mindset is a little bit maybe more, little less clear on the West Coast because it's sort of a newer part of the country, right? But on the old country, the East Coast, the Midwest, those neighborhoods are there. The pride of ethnicity is there across the way. I would say even if you went to Michigan with Dearborn and Warren, you have the Middle Eastern sort of component in there with the same thing. We are in Southern California.
There was what they called Corktown in Detroit.
It's a different situation in Southern California. However, the point is this. At the end of the day, yes, we are all Americans. Yes, we are all interested in actually the pursuit of this democracy that we all are proud of being a part of.
Right.
Okay? So inclusion in that process is something we should be encouraging, not deterring people from being participating.
And you can still be an American and yet recognize where you came from. And your roots and
diversity,
different languages and practice different things.
For all those that talk about diversity being a weakness, heck no. Diversity is not a weakness. Anybody who says that has no friggin' clue what.
Yeah, we take pride in where we come from, but we're also very, very proud to be an American. Right. Actually, immigrants like us who chose to be, I feel that immigrants like us who chose to come here are more American than those who had no choice and they were just born here.
Yeah, I completely agree. Hey, give us a website because we got to wrap up because we got another show pounding at the door.
The Arab American Civic Council.
So it's www.aaciviccouncil.org. AA Civic Council.
We got to change that. It sounds like Alcoholics Anonymous.
It's Arab American.
The other thing is, I also know that we have an activity. We have a gala coming up next year.
April.
In April, I'll have you guys come back on in January, maybe or February, and we'll go over this.
Arab American. April is Arab American Heritage Month.
Heritage Gala, and then there's programs that where if you want to be involved with refugees, these are people that are legally in this country.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Refugees, if you want to basically be involved in some cultural events, contact Rashad or Johanna at the Arab American Civic Council, aaciviccouncil.org. And also you can call me at 949-212-8299. I'm going to get hate mail now. Or email me at Rod, R-A-A-D, period, Gantus, G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S, at gmail.com. This is a great organization. Look it up. Check it out online. Find out more. There's activities taking place all the time. We've had multiples of these dinners where Meet a Refugee and I want to give a shout out to Alan Abdo for the Olive Tree restaurant in Little Arabia. So thanks for both being here. I know we kind of bantered a lot in the beginning, but I think it's interesting that we need to remind the community, we remind the country that we are part and parcel of this fabric of this nation.
We are a united group of divergent communities. We aren't one ethnic, one tribe. We are multi-tribes that have all chosen to live together because we believe in equality, we believe in freedom, and we believe in opportunity.
And we also believe in really good food. So next time there's a refugee dinner or Meet a Refugee at Alan Abdo's location at the Olive Tree in Anaheim, come out.
Can I just
guarantee you the food will knock yourself.
Can I just come for the food, but not meet?
Let alone the story.
Can I just not meet the refugee, but just come for the food?
Well, we'll put a plate for you outside.
The owners and the servers are also immigrants.
Absolutely.
We're all immigrants. Scratch anybody. We come from somewhere.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you for having us.
We'll have you guys back next year.
Keep up the good work. All right. Let's play the final outro here and. We'll be back.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.